You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
The Press at Brookings with David Gregory. I'm Martin Indyk, the director of the Foreign Policy Program at Brookings. And we're delighted to have the opportunity and very grateful to David for doing these monthly events where we get to have a lively discussion of the foreign policy issues of the day. Today, joining David on the panel, we have four Brookings scholars from the Foreign Policy Program. I'll introduce you to them as they appear to you from your left to right. Bob Kagan is a senior fellow in the Center for U.S. and Europe and an expert on U.S. foreign policy, author of several best-selling books, including his definitive work on the early century, the first century of U.S. foreign policy, called Dangerous Nation, of course, also well-known for his other books, including Of Paradise and Power. Next to him, Mike O'Hanlon, who has the distinction of having published 17 books in his short career at Brookings. We did a count last week, and it was 645 journal articles and magazine articles as well. His most recent book is Toughing It Out in Afghanistan, and he's just done a very interesting policy paper for us on the question of how it might be possible to cut the defense budget. Steve Cohen, who is a senior fellow in the 21st Century Defense Initiative, along with Mike O'Hanlon, has established himself in Washington as a preeminent expert on South Asian issues. His latest book, Arming Without Aiming, is a book on India's military policy, and he's just completed study on Pakistan's future, which will be coming out at the end of this month. Ken Lieberthal is the director of the John Thornton China Center here at Brookings, the preeminent expert on Chinese affairs. His latest book on how to do business in China will be coming out in the next couple of months, and his well-known book, Governing China, has now become a bestseller in Mandarin. So without further ado, I'll hand over to David, and thank you again, David, for hosting this event.
Thank you, Martin, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our latest in the series. We're in the middle of a very active news cycle with the horrible events in Arizona and the reverberations in Washington about political discourse, perhaps even gun control. But at the same time, we're also getting ready for the President's State of the Union address and fights over the budget and government spending and the debt and all of the rest. But while that's happening, and that might be dominating the news at the moment, the President obviously has a very active foreign policy. And I wanted to try, in the course of this discussion with these terrific scholars, to create a parallel universe. If you imagine the State of the Union this year would just be dedicated to the foreign policy challenges of this new year and how the administration is going to tackle them and how they reverberate both within the regions but relate overall to America's position in the world and to the various challenges we face as a country, and that these are scholars who would be advising the President and talking through how to weight these challenges, how to address them, and what the administration perhaps ought to be doing differently. That's where we're going to begin, and that's the frame for our conversation, and we'll allow time for your questions as well. I want to start with Bob Kagan to ask a bigger picture question. If you're convened and you are with the President and thinking about the big grand strategy in terms of foreign policy, what is the big theme right now?
I think the big theme is strengthening relationships with traditional allies. If you look at the beginning of the administration, the focus was on strengthening relations with countries like China and Russia, and it was reaching out to Iran, And there was a general perception in some parts among U.S. allies that the traditional alliances were being downgraded. Now, as you look ahead, relations with China are rocky. Relations with Iran don't seem to be improving. I think we're going to head on a downward slide with Russia now after some success in the first 2 years. And the focus is going to shift, and already has shifted in Asia, to working with allies like Japan, Korea, India, and others. In Europe, I think there'll be more focus on Eastern Europe. In Iran, there's clearly going to be efforts to reassure the nations around it. So I think that, in a way, we're moving back toward, a little bit back toward, a more traditional, since World War II, a more traditional approach in American foreign policy.
Steve Cohen, you're just back from Pakistan. This is obviously, as the president says, the most dangerous part of the world. And he's been saying that for a couple of years. We're in war in Afghanistan, of course. How much is the grand theme in foreign policy about what is an immediate threat to the security of the United States?
Well, the irony is that, as Bob said, as we're developing relations with new allies like India, that strains our relations with old allies like Pakistan. And I'm not sure if the term ally is appropriate in a sense. The Indians are our partners. Pakistanis were allies, but often differed with us. But I think in the case of Pakistan, there's a short-term crisis in terms of their involvement in Afghanistan, a medium-term crisis in terms of their coherence as a state, and a long-term crisis in terms of what they're going to do with their nuclear weapons. And I think on all three of those things, you know, these are critical issues that affect vital American interests, let alone the issue of terrorism.
But Michael Hanlon, we have been on a war footing since 9/11. And that really doesn't abate. I mean, there are huge political challenges remaining in Iraq. Even as we reduce our footprint, we're going to have the debate about Afghanistan. And at the same time, we face a very real terrorism problem that can explode onto the scene, quite literally, forgive the pun, at any particular moment. Is that still what's animating the president as he thinks about the year ahead?
David, I think so. I think he's got, let me just mention very briefly on Iraq and then get to Afghanistan, which I think is the crux of the challenges that you mentioned still. On Iraq, he has a challenge in sort of protecting the victory, in a sense. We're in a much better place than we had imagined possible 3 or 4 years ago, and he's done a good job. And Vice President Biden, I think, has done a good job of managing Iraqi politics in a quiet way. But unfortunately, the Iraqis have now reaffirmed the deal that President Bush and Prime Minister Maliki reached in late 2008 for us to leave entirely in 2011, this year, with all of our remaining forces, whether you want to call them combat forces or not. They have a lot of combat capability, and they're supposed to leave in their entirety, even as big Iraqi issues, including the internal Kurdish, Turkoman, Arab issues in the north, have not been resolved. I think the administration needs to find a way to use the famous Washington, you know, non sequitur oxymoron, square the circle. We have to find a way to convince the Iraqis to let some kind of international force, maybe a UN force with America at the lead, stay beyond 2011, because I don't think they're quite ready to handle it on their own, and we can't afford to lose this great progress. That's the easier one. The harder one, of course, is Afghanistan. And on that issue, I think that the president has done essentially a very reasonable and solid thing with all of his decisions on troop increases, but the bottom line is we still don't know if they're going to work. Mm-hmm. And 2011 is the year you should be able to find out. And I'll just put it more as a question than as an argument. My position is supportive of what he's trying to do, but I don't think you can predict yet the outcome. I think we should expect overall violence levels to decline this year. And if they don't, we got to ask some hard questions. The reason I say it like that, and I'm not going to give a quantitative prediction of how much they would have to improve, but we did a lot of clearing last year as we moved forces into new areas. We are primarily staying put now. Mm-hmm. And so the additional kinetic activity that resulted from putting in more forces is largely over. Now, of course, we're doing a lot of ongoing operations, and there are a lot of ongoing problems, but they should not add up to yet another increase, yet another year of increased violence.
I want to stop you there because we're going to come back to I think, speak a little bit more specifically about some of these areas. I want to stay a little bit bigger picture, Ken, as I bring you into this. And maybe this is my own determination to find this thematic glue for American foreign policy, which may be migrating, as Bob has suggested, I think, the last couple of times, that we're migrating away from this kind of singular thematic approach to foreign policy. And is that really where we are as the president approaches this new year?
I think so. The president faces, first of all, as we just heard, obviously several ongoing wars or major military commitments. My sense at the top of the White House and the foreign policy establishment is those occupy more than 40% of the time of the top people engaged in foreign policy. That is a huge burden and creates bandwidth problems for all other issues. Beyond that, I think we have seen some move back toward traditional allies. But a tremendous amount of attention, we'll see this highlighted next week with President Hu Jintao's visit, on trying to adjust to a world where the capabilities of the major powers is changing. So the rise of China, lagging but still significant, the rise of India and of Brazil, greater activism by those countries, so we move to a G20 from a G7 and that kind of thing. So I think there's a lot of attention not only to having good traditional relationships, but also to adjusting what we do and how we do it to integrate major new players into the system and constructive.
So let's stay with China and get everybody to talk about the China story and how it reverberates around South Asia and indeed in the rest of Asia with our relationships. As Hu Jintao prepares for a state visit, this will be a big deal in Washington. What does the administration hope to get out of this? Is this are there economic goals or now military concerns and goals out of this visit?
Well, there are both. On the military side, the Chinese PLA has been modernizing fairly rapidly, increasingly as force protection capability. That is really increasing dramatically the need for our two